Hey, everybody, it is Trags, Mike Petralia back with the post-MLB trade deadline episode of the CLNS Media's Red Sox Beat, powered by betonline.ag, our official online gaming partner for all of the latest in online gaming and betting in the sports world. Visit betonline.ag. Be sure to use our promo code CLNS50. Back with me to discuss everything Red Sox after the MLB trade deadline, which passed on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, is Alex Barth of 98.5 The Sports Hub. You can follow his work, of course, at 98.5thesportshub.com and also on Twitter at RealAlexBarth. Alex, what to make of what the Red Sox and Chaim Bloom did at the MLB trading deadline? A very quick recap. Coming to the Red Sox from Cincinnati Reds, outfielder, veteran outfielder, and fantasy football player extraordinaire, Tommy Pham. I'll hold off on all the jokes. Eric Hosmer from the San Diego Padres. He did not want to be included, or was not included, I should say, in the mega deal that sent Juan Soto and Josh Bell from Washington to the San Diego Padres. Padres, big-time buyers at the trade deadline. But anyway, Eric Hosmer and Tommy Pham come to Boston. Christian Vasquez is dealt away to the Houston Astros. Of course, that happened on Monday night, first game of the Astros series in Houston. All he had to do was change dugouts. I want to start here, Alex, with a quote and get your read on it from one Xander Bogaerts. You know the quote I'm referencing?
I think so, but go ahead.
No one saw that coming. You obviously saw a lot of rumors coming out, but it doesn't kick in until it really happens. I don't want to say it waves the white flag, but that's a big piece going out before all of us expected. Your thoughts, and is Xander Bogaerts saying something between the lines there?
Yeah, well, you know, you had the report just, I think, like 20 minutes before we started recording that Chris Cotillo of Mass Live reporting that Chaim Bloom is going to travel to Houston. He's going to be with the team tonight. He's going to be with them on the rest of the road trip, and he's going to leave his door open to any players who are concerned about the direction of the team after the deadline. That's not a good sign. That, first off, it's not a good sign Chaim Bloom wasn't with the team.
That's he did a his press better point.
Not only was he not with the team, he did his press conference on, I think it was actually Monday. I think he did it after the Vasquez trade, or it might have been Tuesday, the post trade deadline press conference. Either way, he did it during the game. Be more connected, dude. Seriously, you're just telling us you're not watching the team? Because again, the nerds don't need to watch baseball because they're not baseball fans and they don't really understand the sport. They just need their precious numbers. So that's not a great sign. I don't think I'm overreacting at all. As for what Vasquez said, and look, I hate the nerds in general. I was on the Sports Hub on Sunday. Right. And I had said, look, I don't love Bloom's plan, but I think he's executing his plan well. And I said, I think he deserves a little longer leash because I like the picks he's made. I think he's brought in some prospects. I don't think you want another situation where you fire Ben Cherington a year too soon and you overcorrect into Dave Dombrowski. You don't want to do that again. So I was saying, give Bloom a longer leash. And then Monday and Tuesday happened, and now I'm out on the guy. And to get really down to the quote of what Bogart said, if you want to buy, and I don't totally agree with buying with this team. I think you're throwing good money after bad. You're essentially just investing in what's likely a one and done. They don't have enough pitching. The one thing, oddly enough, they didn't address. But if you're going to buy, I actually don't hate the plan overall. Pham makes sense. Hosmer, for his value, makes sense, right? But if you're going to do that, then you don't trade Christian Vasquez. I actually probably come away from the deadline complimentary if they don't move Christian Vasquez. And here's why. It's not because Christian Vasquez is some Hall of Fame player. I think he's underrated, but I get it. He's an above average catcher. The reason I don't move him is he's very close with everybody on that team. Right. And the message you sent, right? Look, if they had traded Vasquez, but then also traded Nathan Eovaldi, also traded Rob Refsnyder, also traded like any of these guys we thought were going to go, JD Martinez, then it's like, all right, it sucks Vasquez went, but they're selling. Bloom's selling. That's what's going on. It's unfortunate. The message, and I'm almost done. I know you want to jump in. Message Bloom has sent now is, well, okay, we're going for it. but we're doing it without Christian, who's a good player, a leader on this team, and a friend of all of ours. Christian did everything right. They shipped him out of town when we're going to try to go on a playoff run. Xander's done everything right. They're not going to pay him. Rafi's done everything right. We don't know if they're going to pay him. Why should, if you're any player in that locker room, why should you care right now? That's the message from ownership. Everybody's an interchangeable piece. The Boston Red Sox should not operate that way. Teams that believe they're on winning trajectories, which the Red Sox clearly do, should not operate that way. Again, the overall deadline, if you take away the Vasquez move, I don't love that they're buyers, but it at least makes sense. Instead, Bloom spent good money after bad, and then on top of that, for some reason, decided to leave the room after ripping a massive fart and just decided, hey, you know that guy you all love? We'll F him and F you too. That's the message Bloom sent at the deadline. So I 100% agree with Xander Bogaerts. He should be scratching his head. The team should have never put him in that position. And it really just sets up what's going to be, I believe, a monumental disaster of an offseason for this team.
Okay. Here's.
And people call me a homer.
Here's what I think they were thinking with Tommy Pham and Eric Hosmer. In case we get good down the stretch, and in case we are one of the three wildcard teams, we want a couple of players who have been to the playoffs before. And Tommy Pham, actually, if you've looked at his numbers, he's been to the playoffs three times with three different clubs. Very, very similar, by the way, to Johnny Gomes, the Johnny Gomes effect. He is incredibly well-respected and well-liked, despite all of the crap.
And like Johnny Gomes, he might fight somebody in a supermarket.
That is also correct. But seriously, Tommy Pham, very well-respected. And if the Red Sox happen to get hot, or just get good enough to be one of the three wildcard teams, and then they win a wildcard playoff, if they're hot enough, Alex, and have a couple of big bats who've been there before, you never know what's going to happen. But my point is, it sounds ludicrous that they acquire two veterans in case they get hot, because right now they're not a playoff team. And I don't think they care if they are or are not a playoff team coming down the stretch. Sure, they'd like to make the playoffs, but it just struck me as bizarre. Here in Cincinnati, the organization was, I think, had one of the best MLB trade deadline periods of anybody in Major League Baseball. They knew they were buyers. But my point with the Reds is not necessarily all of the young talent that they acquired in trading away Luis Castillo, trading away Tyler Mahle. It's the veterans that they dealt away, that they signed at the beginning of the year, that became valuable chips. That's not what this is with the Red Sox. If you're telling me that, okay, we have these veteran players like a Christian Vasquez, but we can trade him away for chips down the road. Well, they did do that with Vasquez, but then they turn around and acquire veterans on the back end. You don't know if they're coming or going. And to your point, Alex, it just doesn't seem like, it seems like the plan is very fluid and they are hedging their bets left and right. And I think that's what bothers Red Sox fans is, what are you doing? I mean, what is the long-term plan? Go over the Christian Vasquez deal again. Here it is. He was traded Monday night before the opener in the three-game series to Houston for minor league infielder outfielder Emmanuel Valdez and minor league outfielder Wyler Abreu. In the process, they recalled catcher Ronaldo Hernandez from AAA Worcester. But as you mentioned, when they traded Jake Diekman to the White Sox, they got a catcher who did start Wednesday's 6-1 loss in Houston, Reese McGuire, back in exchange. So there is that. But that was the Christian Vasquez. What's that?
Pulling that name. You couldn't remember it at first. It's a real pull.
Yeah. Okay. And then there's Eric Hosmer. Of the non-plus Juan Soto, Josh Bell deal between Washington and San Diego. The Red Sox sent left-handed pitcher Jay Groom, has been up many times with the Red Sox this year. They sent him to the Padres in exchange for Eric Hosmer, minor league infielder Max Ferguson, minor league outfielder Corey Rozier, and cash. So Hosmer's 32. He's played in over 1,600 games. Obviously, he had a great run with the World Series champion Royals in 2015. He was also on that 2014 Royals team that lost in game seven of the San Francisco Giants. He has a lot of playoff experience. So there is that. And I just, with these Red Sox, I don't know if they're coming or going. They had their three-game winning streak. They won two very impressive games in Houston. You have to give them credit for that before losing on Wednesday. Rich Hill did not have a great game for the Red Sox on Wednesday. And the three-game winning streak is over. They're back to 500. And the Red Sox fans really, again, Alex, they don't know if they're coming or going.
Yeah, treading wires, treading water, spinning the tires, however you want to qualify it. That's the frustration. Again, I like the Christian Vasquez move if they continue to sell, right? I like the Hosmer and Pham moves if they were going to buy. Why does it have to be both? Like, what is the point? What is I wish somebody had asked your Ty Bloom this. So that's the other thing. Like, they didn't, if they're going to buy, they didn't add pitching, which they desperately need. Now Brian Bello's hurt. And by the way, I get getting Hosmer at cost and you're only going to pay him like $700,000 or whatever. Right. But I wouldn't have dealt Jake Groom. He is still only 23. He was having a decent year. This team has a massive shortage of high major, potentially MLB ready pitching prospects.
Good point. It's a great point.
I would have rather, like,
why don't you hold on to a guy like that?
Right. That's the kind of guy they need. I don't hate the trade as a whole, but Jeter Downs is like, I look at him as the guy maybe moving that deal. It's the back and forth of it all again that kills me. And I wish somebody had asked Ty Bloom, and I think he sort of got asked this. What did you accomplish at the deadline? Like, what did the Red Sox truly accomplish? Okay, they added a first baseman. Great. After a year and a half of not having a first baseman, it cost you in the ALCS last year. It's a big reason you're in the hole you're in this year. Now all of a sudden it's a priority. Well, you have to deal with a guy that Sox prospects had heading into the deadline is the sixth ranked prospect in the organization. No, at that point, no, you don't get to, it's like I said, with the Rafael Devers contract thing,
right?
You don't get to suddenly care about defense now to excuse being stupid and being cheap. I should say, not being stupid. You don't get to excuse. The reason they traded for Hosmer is not because they all panicked and said, oh my God, do you realize we haven't had a first baseman this whole time? They traded for Hosmer because they knew they could get him for pennies on the dollar. They didn't really think of it beyond that. You know, nobody thought, oh, is this guy on the back end of his career? Oh, are we going to get saddled with an immovable contract for the next 3 years? Oh, are we going to block our top prospect in Tristan Casas? Nobody thought that. They said, well, here's a herd of him guy, and we can get him for nothing. So let's do that, because that's what the Tampa Bay Rays and now the Back Bay Rays do. Shout out to my friend Brian. You like that, Back Bay Rays?
I do. I do.
Well, Brian came up with that. That's a good one.
Well done. And thank you, Brian.
Like, it's all right. So you added a first baseman who isn't the player he once was. You added Tommy Pham, who, okay, you added another outfielder. I guess you needed that. I don't think he moves the needle, though.
He's 34, Alex. I mean,
right. You got worse at catcher. And all right, you picked up four prospects, none of whom were ranked in the top 10 of the team system that they came from. So what did you do exactly? Like, what's the... You made a bunch of trades to make trades. That's the worst thing you can do. Me and you have talked about, I think, every deadline in sports in the years we've worked together. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the one thing I will always say at any deadline, you never make a trade just to make a trade. And that's exactly what it feels like the Red Sox did. Again, what did they do at the deadline? What changed? We don't have to watch Franchi at first base anymore. Like, that's nice. I don't hate that, but I'm supposed to get excited about that. Like, all right, you erased the negative. You didn't do anything positive.
He is Alex Barth of 98.5, thesportshub.com. Follow him on Twitter at RealAlexBarth. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all of your betting needs and sports information. Find all of the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including Major League Baseball scores, all of the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and much more. Head on over to the website, or as always, you can use your mobile device to sign up today. You receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code CLNS50 to get the bonus and get into the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Rafael Devers was back to action, hit a home run in the 2-1 win on Tuesday night. What kind of impact does Rafi Devers have down the stretch, and will he stay healthy?
I mean, you hope he stays healthy, right? I think the impact he can have is massive. This is his final argument, right? Before he goes to that negotiating table, yep. Whether it's with the Red Sox or with another team that trades for him, this is, you know, it's these, what is it, 2 months, less than 2 months that he has to say, this is the kind of player I am. This is why I deserve better than Austin Riley money. This is why I deserve, you know, closer to Yordan out, you know, better than Yordan Alvarez money, things like that. So right. I think he's going to lock in. I think he's going to be really good here down the stretch.
I do too. And the Red Sox now move on to Kansas City for four games. They have starting pitchers announced for three of the four games. Nick Pivetta on Thursday night in the opener, TBD on Friday night, then Nathan Eovaldi and Cutter Crawford. Speaking of Nathan Eovaldi, Alex Barth of 98.5, the Sports Hub, the three players that did not get dealt, Nate Eovaldi, JD yeah. Martinez, or Xander yeah. Bogaerts. And Chad Jennings at The Athletic made this point. I think it's a great one, and really alludes to the point you made in your rant in the first half of this podcast. If you're not cutting payroll, then what are you doing if you're not going right. to really be a buyer? That's what doesn't make sense. And that's what the Red Sox fans don't understand. I mean, I don't know this for a fact because I'm not in the clubhouse every day, but
sure.
Did Xander Bogaerts have 1 foot out the door mentally? Because I think I would have. I think it's only human nature. That Xander figured, well, look, if I don't get traded now, I'm not going to be with this team next year. Any chance that I'll be with the team next year? Because they obviously right. want to make Rafael Devers a priority. They have Trevor Story. They have now two or three either mid to upper level shortstop prospects. What are you doing with Xander Bogaerts? Nobody wanted him? I mean, that to me is a question for Chaim Bloom.
That one, I wonder, I think the relationships, and maybe I'm making too much of the relationships, no. but I do think the relationships play a big part in this. I think if you trade Bogaerts, Devers is gone, right? Or you really tick him off.
Well,
they're
no.
very close.
If you trade, well, they are, but if you trade Bogaerts and then go to Devers and say, look, we want to do whatever we can to spend all of the resources on Xander Bogaerts and give them to you, then I don't think, you know.
Okay, that's fair. Let me rephrase that. If you, and maybe I'm misinterpreting the question here. If you trade Xander Bogaerts and still put out the scent, I guess, I can't think of the word, that you're buying, there's no coming back. There's no coming back from that. I don't know that Chaim Bloom makes it back to Boston, right? Now, are you saying, you know, why didn't they trade Xander Bogaerts and just trade, right? You don't pick up Eric Hosmer. You don't pick up Tommy Pham. That's a better discussion, but it goes to what I said before. They should have sold, right? But if you trade Xander Bogaerts and then still bring in major league ready players and other deals,
You are waving
a piece of steak however, in front of the line at
however
that point.
Alex, if you deal Xander Bogaerts and get a boatload back in positions of need, primarily pitching, if you get a lot of pitching yeah. back for a Xander Bogaerts, which I think you could have done depending on the team that you're dealing with, I think certainly fans would live with that, and I think the team to a degree.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I disagree.
Unless it's like established, unless it's guys who are already in the majors, right? Like obviously the timeline doesn't work out. If it had been like Luis Castillo, and we talked last time I was on about why that trade would have never worked, but just he's a name that pops in my head. If it had been Luis Castillo, a guy who's going to come in and pitch for the major
number one
days after the deadline, right? Or even like to go back to the Nomar trade, right? When they traded Nomar, they got Orlando Cabrera, who was an instant contributor to that team. Doug Mankiewicz, instant contributor to that team. Like not prospects, right? Younger players, right? If it had been that, maybe, right? You do the horses for ponies traded, but you get guys who the fans can see and are on the field. In that case, maybe there's an argument for it. If they traded Xander Bogaerts for prospects and then still traded for Eric Hosmer and Tommy Pham, there's just, is a move that is indefensible. Unless you're getting a top five guy in the league.
Correct. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, those deals.
Those guys don't, those guys don't move at the deadline. That's an offseason deal. I guess, sure, if you want to really shoot for the moon. But if you had gotten like a Juan Soto comp kind of deal, sure. But these aren't the deals the Red Sox are making. Again, they traded a guy who's an above average catcher in this league and is still, he's not young, but he's not old. And they didn't get a top 20. I think both of those guys are outside the top 25 in the Astros system.
Okay. Hold on. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, like, this is kind of their MO. They prefer quantity over quality when they make these prospect deals, right? With Andrew Benintendi, they didn't necessarily get any top of the system guys, but they got five guys. They're shooting darts. And to an extent, you want to do that with prospects, but you can't do it every time. Yes, there is a, if they get a top five in baseball prospect, yeah, you trade Xander Bogaerts. I don't think that was on the table. And I don't know that that's a deal Chaim Bloom would necessarily do. I think he would say, well, instead of giving me the top prospect in your system, give me 5, 10, and 15, right? I think that's just the way he operates.
So to your point, Emmanuel Valdez, the infielder, yeah, outfielder that they did get in the deal, is ranked by Baseball America as the Astros' number 12 prospect, left-handed hitter. Okay, I was
using MLB.com.
Yeah, correct. I understand that.
Okay. Yeah.
But he's ranked number 12 in the Houston organization. Left-hander split the 2022 this season between Double-A Corpus Christi and Triple-A Sugar Land, batting .327 in 82 games, sure, with a 1,016 OPS, 26 doubles, one triple, 21 bombs, which will play well with Red Sox Nation. 14 in left field, 8 at designated hitter, native of the Dominican Republic. And Abreu is ranked by Baseball America as Houston's number 21 prospect. Left-handed hitter, again, spent the entire season with Corpus Christi, 89 games batting, just .249, but good power, 24 doubles, 15 homers, 54 RBIs. So the Red Sox did get power back in the deal, young power, and maybe there is some value to that. But I just think trading away a guy like Christian Vasquez is kind of essentially waving the red flag at this point.
Right. No, again, I don't. And actually, I wasn't aware of some of those numbers. So I don't hate the return. It's OK. So do more of that then.
Like, I agree.
That's what you got for Vasquez. What do you get for JD instead of, you know, sending Jay Groom out? The other thing that just hit me, I think all four of the prospects they got between trading Vasquez, and then they actually got two prospects back in addition to Hosmer from the Padres for Groom. All four position players, no pitchers. Chaim Bloom still seems to think that you don't need pitching. And I don't mean don't need good pitching. I mean like sheer numbers. This is, if it was a video game, you wouldn't be able to advance because it would tell you you don't have enough pitchers on your roster. You have to sign pitchers. Like that still continues to be weird to me.
You're great, Alex. You really are fun to have on. You know, we haven't discussed the actual on-field product because I think at this point, Alex, until we're shown otherwise, it's irrelevant. I agree. It is totally irrelevant. They take 2 of 3 in Houston. We'll see how.
You know what?
Go ahead.
Let me say this. Chaim Bloom clearly isn't watching what's going on the field. So why should we? He doesn't care. He just wants to fiddle with his prospects.
That's hyperbole, Alex. And you know that's hyperbole.
He had his press conference during the game. How can you tell me he wasn't watching the game?
You think he had it out of one eye
while he's answering questions?
Yeah, all right. Chill. That's happened before. Red Sox GMs of World Championship, World Series Red Sox teams have done that before. So I think you're going a little bit overboard there, and I think you're blowing that a little bit out of proportion. But they are 53-53, really on the train to nowhere. And I think Red Sox fans know that. I think more to the point, I think a lot of players in that clubhouse know that. I'm curious to see how Tommy Pham impacts that clubhouse. He, on a bad team, was well-respected and adored by the younger players in the Reds clubhouse. And I'm going to tell you that what the Reds did to me made a lot of sense on a lot of levels. They are now regarded as a top 3 or 4 farm system in all of baseball. And what the Reds are trying to do, and I think they're 2 to 3 years away from this without having to go through the massive 100 loss seasons, is they're trying to be the Houston Astros. And they are so loaded in prospects and mid to upper level minor league farm system prospects that I think they can project in 2 to 3 years that they're going to have players that are going to be super. Ellie De La Cruz is the name every single, even modest baseball fan should get to know. The power he has at, I believe he's 19, going to be 20 soon, but 19 is unbelievable. It's just, he's 6'5". He hits the ball literally 520 feet in his first week at Double A Chattanooga. Those are the kind of players that generate fan interest and generate a sincere hope for the future. And I think what bothers Red Sox fans is, where is that for us, right? Where is that hope, that genuine, okay, we're not good this year. We're average. We're mediocre for the amount of money we spend in payroll. We're bad for the amount of money we spend on payroll, to be very honest about it. But there's a future down the road of stars, and our farm system is loaded. Red Sox have been there in the past, but not so much now. And that's what I think frustrates Red Sox fans about the way they handled and Chaim Bloom handled the trade deadline.
What about whatever happened to Hunter Green? Hunter Green's not the guy anymore?
No, he is. He's part of their future. Right. He's part of the three rookie studs with Graham Ashcraft, who had a great game on Tuesday night in Miami. And Monday night, Hunter Green had one of his better games. Hunter Green's been hit or miss, but you know, he's got an electric arm. There's no question about that. And Nick Lodolo is going to be a stud. He's a Steve Avery type back in the day with the Atlanta Braves. Really reminds me of a guy like that. A little bit maybe also Madison Baumgartner. He's got, you know, a lefty with that kind of style. He can get up on you with a sneaky fastball. But the Reds have three young stud pitchers in the rotation. They're going to take their lumps now. But that's why they were able to trade away to 29-year-old Luis Castillo, who, by the way, overwhelmed the Yankees after a rough couple of first innings. He just dominated the Yankees and beat the Yankees Wednesday in his first start with Seattle. So those are some interesting storylines. Yeah. Real quick, 1 minute here,
Alex. Well, I just want to say to the Tommy Pham thing, too, how will he fit in the locker room? He doesn't have the strangest off-field story of the guys they brought in at the deadline. So he has that going for him.
No, he does not. That is correct. It's going to be a weird dynamic, I think, with the Red Sox for the final 2 months.
It's going to be very odd. They're the Psycho Sox now. That's what I've been calling them.
He is Alex Barth. He does a fabulous job doing covering all things Boston sports. He has a story up right now, right, Alex, on Brian Baio. He was dinged up today, correct? He had to leave. What was the issue?
They're saying left groin injury. I don't know that that's entirely what it is. It looked like he was grabbing at his back, but it looked like he pulled something.
There we go. And for the latest on Brian Baio and the Boston Red Sox, be sure to hit up 98.5, the Sports Hub. He is the one and only Alex Barth. Follow him on Twitter at Real Alex Barth, all one word. Want to thank our great sponsor, betonline.ag, where the game starts. For all of your betting activity, go to betonline.ag and use our promo code CLNS50 for 50% welcome bonus. I also want to thank everybody for downloading this podcast and being loyal subscribers of Red Sox Beat on the CLNS Media Network. For Alex Barth, I'm Mike Petralia Trags. Thanks for watching.